The trouble is, though, a lot of the kids had to run a load of classes home to pack up. And there was three boys that have got cases positive, so the whole class was sent home.
Yeah.
My grandson is home 2 weeks in the flat at home on his own.
Torah in Northwest London. Chofei Kislev Tovshin Pei Aleph, first day of Hanukkah, 11th of December. Rabbi Benji Morgan. Hanukkah Licht, Shabbos Licht, and everything in between.
Freilich Hanukkah, everyone. And everything in between is quite a large thing, between everything between Shabbos Licht and Hanukkah Licht. We do know there is actually a link, obviously, between Hanukkah Licht and Shabbos Licht, Sukkah Mai Hanukkah. But Amaisa, I think today I want to look at something about understanding a little bit about the lights of Hanukkah, the lights that we fill our homes with on Hanukkah, and with it being Erev Shabbos as well, the difference in a way, the stark difference between that and the Shabbos Licht, and trying to understand the message. Now, because it's Friday, Erev Shabbos, and it's Hanukkah, Dudi suggested that we focus a little bit more on the sugya in a kind of drush eifen, and not that we're going moving away from pshat at all, but just to understand a little bit more of the meaning and the lessons and what we can take with us, and maybe something that you can share at your Shabbos table tonight, as opposed to a londish of kovsa zokakla adokais mitzvah and going through to hanochais mitzvah and figuring out the correlation between the two of them. So it's very interesting that when we talk about the Hadlokas near Shabbos, the Ramah in Rish Samach Gimel, and also the Mishnah Berurah over there, it's very clear that the Itka Hadloka Tuluya B'Neiros Shemadlikin Al HaShulchan. The whole idea of Hadlokas near Shabbos is to light up the food and the Oineg and the Geshmak of the table, of the living, of the, should we call it, Olam Hazeh, of this of Shabbos, of what you're enjoying in this world on Shabbos. Is the on the camera? The camera's
okay. It's
okay.
It's okay.
So in essence, when we look at the hadlokas near Shabbos, we're looking to try and mamish light up the room. No shamush, no elon rishus lishtamish bahem. The opposite. We're trying on the Ner Shabbos to bedafka light at a place where we'll benefit from it. Either if a person's eating out, there's a shida, where do you light? If a person's sleeping elsewhere, where do you light? You want to mamish benefit from the Ner Shabbos. Just adjusting the camera here, but it's we'll it's okay.
I can't even find them. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can see your face.
You can see my face. Okay. Don't know if that's a good thing or not a good thing. My mother used to tell me I have a radio face. Yeah, radio face is someone who's good for a face which is good on the radio. So the idea is that the Itka Hadlaka by Shabbos is toila on benefiting and enjoying the light. In fact, okay, if you light in a room which you don't benefit from the nearest, there's taka a problem. Baket on we know on the lighting of the nearest of Hanukkah, the Shulchan Aruch and Erechaim Tofri Shayim Kimel Aleph, it states Einon Rishus Nishtamish Bahem, and Baket we cannot benefit. In fact, that's why we light a Shamash. There's a whole Shaila. So you have on the one hand Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, which you're supposed to enjoy the light, and the Hadlokas Ner Hanukkah, which is Einon Rishus Nishtamish Bahem Ela L'Risam Bulvad. There's a third light, which is an interesting halacha, which is the Yotzeit candle. The hadlok of the ner, which we do have the hadlokas ner on the mesim, where the Mishnah Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph says in Mevorchim Boyer Moira Eish Moitzes Shabbos al haner shel mesim, that we don't make a bracha of Boyer Moira Eish on a yotzeit candle. Which again, it's like we're not allowed to enjoy or even say the bracha of Boyer Moira Eish on a yotzeit candle. It's not something which we make a bracha on.
Have a minute. You should do.
Yeah, I'm saying you deba have dollar. You want to make on the yotzeit candle. You want to use it. Aim of orchim, right? Not that you would stand as though you go over to every yotzeit candle, but the idea is you want to make a bemeration of dollar. You can't use a yotzeit candle, which again is similar to Hanukkah, of something which we're not benefiting from. So, in order to be able to understand maybe the light of Hanukkah and the lessons of it in, of what is in. Maybe we'll look at another three questions and see whether we can tie this all in together. We know the Chazal tell us, and it's brought down in the Medrash from Megillas Antiochus, that the Yevonim, they made a gezeirah on three things. Rish Chodesh, Shabbos and Milah. Now Shabbos we understand, it's kind of a big one. Milah we also understand, also a big one. Rish Chodesh is always the one that kind of stands out. I mean, sometimes, not all of us, but some of us may not even know exactly when is the next Rosh Chodesh. We seem to live lives which we can live quite from lives, quite Todeka Elecha lives, without knowing Rosh Chodesh. So we didn't have Rosh Chodesh. Let's say Corona would have taken Rosh Chodesh. Yeah? Everything else would have stayed, but Corona would have taken Rosh Chodesh. Okay, there probably wouldn't even be letters written to the government. You know, whatever. We'd have said, fine, someone's going to take a note. Vatl Rosh Chodesh. So there was something that they understood about Rosh Chodesh, which obviously also ties in with the other two. It's not just because Shabbos and Milah are important, but there's something which ties in the other two. So the question is, why these three? There's another thing which stands out when it comes to Chanukah, and that is in Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim, Val HaPurkon, Val HaGvurus, Val HaGshuus. All of that makes sense. On the Nisim, the Purkon. But then the Al HaMulchamos, that the Brisker Rav says, ask the Kasha, what are Alamul Chomos? You're thanking Hashem for the Mulchama? We understand the nest, but why are we thanking Hashem for the Mulchama? And finally, Stamathu, when we're talking about the Mulchama, there's a Kasha, which is we know that we are supposed to take Hishtadlus when it comes to doing our bit. But if you've got the entire American army, or the equivalent in those days of the Greeks, then what was the Havamina that the Chashmonaim had to go out? It's almost like a suicidal, it doesn't sound a Yiddish thing. I understand other religions might have suicide missions. Yeah, this sounds like a few Yidden get together and say, you know what? We've got to fight against the army. What gave them the right, or the Das Torah, to think that this was the right thing? All of these questions kind of maybe can dig a little bit deeper behind the idea of Chanukah itself. But let's, before we go there, go to the other famous Kasha on Chanukah. Beis Yosef Kasha Ve'ikula Medak. Beis Yosef is in Or Chaim, Siman Tov Yesh'ayin. Famous Kasha, Loma Kovu Shmoyne Yomim. The Kivin to Shemesh of a Pach, Loya Boi Kadei Lahat, Lik Laila Achas, V'nimsa Shloi Nasa Anis, Ela B'Shiva Leilos. The Nes of Chanukah was an extra 7 days. Why do we do it for an additional night? Why do we have 8 days of Chanukah? The Nes of Chanukah was 7. And the truth is that had Albert Einstein known that the Beit Yosef asked the Kasha, he maybe would have been mechaven to his terrorist, but he didn't know. But Albert Einstein did say that there's two ways of looking at the world. There's one way that nothing is a miracle, or that everything is a miracle. Okay, he was a Yid, but you have to understand, unfortunately, most of science says nothing is a miracle. Right? But once you understand the Misha Omar L'Shem Shiyadik, L'Hem L'Chem Shiyadik, then everything is a miracle. And Be'emes, that's obviously one of the famous answers and Terutzim to the Beis Yosef's Kasha, that the 7 days, like the Ramban says at the end of Parashas Boy, that from the Nisim HaGadolim, a person can see the Nisim HaKetanim. From everything happening in Mitzrayim, you see that the damn thing, what happens, a person's supposed to take that and tie it every morning and say Shema and put it on their door, so they see the Nisim every day in their life. That means we can go through our lives thanking Hashem for the times of when we see a parking ticket guy outside the house, and punked we came out exactly that point, and then we get Pesach Kohen to write a story about it, about the time when he came out and he was thinking, he was so kind, and he saved itself. Saved it from the ticket. We don't write, but those are the stories that go out. What about the times when the guy didn't, you didn't even realize the guy walked past, or you didn't even know, you forgot? Or what about every breath that we breathe? Every breath from our lungs in a time of Corona that we kind of took for granted. Every time that we could shake someone's hand, say good Shabbos, the fact that we could move our hand, right? How much did we think about that? That is the light of Chanukah. And it's very interesting because 18 months ago, then I was very, very sick. In fact, I was admitted to the Royal Free, and then I was taken from there to the Queen Square Hospital and had a brain surgery. And it was very interesting, the transformation and the journey that one goes in, because Chas v'Shalom, everyone should learn, no one should know. But when a person's eyesight starts deteriorating, and it came to the point of where I was totally disorientated, because the infection that was inside my brain was growing, and it was putting pressure on the optic nerve. I went down to have because the brain and the eyesight is so linked, they have actually like a specialist optometrist inside Queen Square. And they showed me some of the scans, and they showed me what was going on. They said, you should know that even after the surgery, you may not get your eyesight back completely. And it was such a paradigm-shifting moment in my life when I came back 3 months later, 6 months later, they showed this no improvement, and Baruch Hashem, Blay Nor, on Chanukah last year, I got the all clear. So what is that light of Chanukah? Now is it the first anniversary? Yeah. What is that light of Chanukah that was on a personal level was for me? Was that how many times had I looked around a room like this, right? Had I come home and bench my kids on a Friday night, and never even realized the nisecha shebechol yimimonu, right? Never even realized how fortunate we are. And not that it's, okay, we're fortunate, but never realized the amount of pain. Just to describe to you, the amount of pain that I was in, someone asked me afterwards, the doctor said, how high is the level of pain before they're giving you morphine, right? Anyway, sometimes people are tempted to exaggerate, right? So they used to think, they say I'm level of 1 to 10, and I'm saying it's 12, so they're a little bit worried. But it was literally like having my head jammed in a metal door and someone just banging the door on my head for 12 days, right? That was what it was like. And what a ness it is that the rest of the time, okay, maybe I'm old, we have a headache, right? Think about it from a corona perspective, because that's where we're living right now. This tiny, less than a teaspoon of corona, that's if you take all the corona for the entire world, it comes to less than a teaspoon, right? That is what has infected an entire world, changed our planet. We know that in everyone's mouth, the way that my infection started was because there was a very common, very, very common infection or bug that was inside my mouth. I went to the dentist. And for whatever reason, they didn't give me antibiotics. I had a routine treatment. And they call it a 1 in a million chance. It went into my bloodstream and that's how I went to the brain. Right? But they explained to me the amount of bacteria that we have. It's a regular strep type of thing that we have in our mouths. Billions of bacteria that we have in our mouth. But not us. Somehow, there's a brain barrier. It stops it from getting there. Right? There should be a corona every day, every year. There should be billions of germs. We're surrounded by germs, but yet we take that for granted. So last year, as I got the all clear on Chanukah, I guess that message of the Beis Yosef and that idea of the light of Chanukah is exactly that. Why is it, says the Beis Yosef, that we light for 8 days? Because like the Ramban says, it's the Nisecha Shebechol Yimimonu. We're not supposed to take Chanukah Licht and light up our table. Shabbos is a day which we are supposed to take the light of Shabbos, the candlelight of Shabbos, and light up this world, elevate this world. We have a Neshama Yisera. We're supposed to be Ma'anig Es HaShabbos, which means that we eat and we sleep and we eat Cholent and Kugel and Kishka and wine, and we're supposed to be Mamish there and light up this world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Each with his own things that he does, right? Masha'in Kein on Chanukah Faket, if we start lighting up our world and we start benefiting from this world, we'll just see the world with the same light we always saw it. Chanukah is not a light that we light up our world with, it's a lens through which we see our world. Lir Oysam Bulvad is to give us the lens of Chanukah. And through that, take it not only for those extra 7 days, not only the actual day, but also the days that follow. The other 346 days of the year, or 347 days of the year, to be able to take that and look at everything with a different light. So to answer what we're saying so far is like this. The difference between the Neiros of Shabbos is like we explained, a person's supposed to have the Einik of Shabbos. The difference in Neiros Chanukah is Faket, it's a lens within which to see the world. And a Ner Neshama, we understand that a Ner Neshama is Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, we light that candle kind of to remember, but it's almost a light from the other world which comes into this world. And again, we don't say Boyer Mer Eisha on this. But we also asked another kasha. Why Rish Chodesh, Bris Milah, and Shabbos? The truth is that the light of Chanukah teaches us something else. And this is what also gave the Chashmonaim the chutzpah and the azus within which to fight the Greek army. See, the Yevonim, they understood that the world was created totally perfect. In fact, it's not clear that they argued that the Ribbono Shel Olam was the creator of the world. The Nekudas Machlokas wasn't if Hashem created the world, but did Hashem create the world and is actively involved bashkocha process with human interaction? Or was it like a carpenter who creates a chair and then he goes, he created a perfect world, leave it alone. On Shabbos we say there's a kasha, we say Vayervai Vayke Yom HaShishi, Vayechulu HaShemayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzvaam. We say on Shabbos we know that that's the first pasuk. So when did the world finish? Vayervai Vayke Yom HaShishi Vayechulu. On the sixth day the world was created. So did he finish on the sixth day, or did he finish on the seventh day? I mean, we say this every week. So, like, when did he finish? He finished on the Yom HaShishi or the Yom HaShvi? So what's the pshat vayichalikim v'yom HaShvi? So the pshat I heard from Rashi Ben Pesek, Rav Meir Stern, he said like this. The end of the pasuk, what do we say? Asher bara Elokim la'asos. This world was created. What Shabbos is a testimony is on two things. It's a testimony on number one, that this world was created la'asos, for us to do. This world wasn't created finished. Even when Hashem completed his work, it was left with room for us to work. But it's also us to work in what way, in what capacity, to do our own work, or to do the work that the Rebbe wants us to do in this world. La'asos is to do that tikkun in the world. But in the same way that the Rebbe Shlom stopped on Yom HaShvi, it showed that Hashem wasn't nature, but was in charge of nature. If a computer creates beautiful paintings, why do we not call it artistic? Because if the computer can't stop, then we it's not artistic. What makes artistry, what takes ownership over something, is the ability to stop. It's the ability to stop being an artist, that's what creates creativity. If a person can't stop, then he's no longer in control of his creativity. In fact, he's part of the creative process, but he's not the creator. Unless a person can stop, or a thing can stop, or the Borei Olam could stop, then he would have been nature. We believe the Rishon is in control of nature. That's what a Nes shows, says the Ramban. Nes shows that that's what the whole Nisim of Mitzrayim was to show. That not only could there be nature, but that Hashem was actively involved in the Mice of Rishis. And that we have a part to play in that too, Hashem Borei Kim Lasses. That is the lesson of Shabbos. So how does it answer the kasha? Because the Rebbe Shem really did finish creating the world on the sixth day, of course. But it was only when he stopped on the seventh day that it showed that the end of the creative process was on the sixth day. And that is the pshat in Asher Bara Elokim La'asos, because if Hashem stopped creating and asked us to do something, it's because we have a place to play in this world. Now the shaila is, how do we deal with hishtadlus? In fact, my mother-in-law once asked Avraham Gurovitz of Gesund Sein, when do we know when Hishtadlus, we're supposed to do our bit, Pischuli Pesach Shal Machat. When are we supposed to know when to start, when to stop? If the pshat is that we learn that your gat on Matzosa, that even after everything you do, right, Matzosa, it's still a Matziah. That means a person is fishing over here, and then the fish will jump out of the water, and that's what fishing is. That's what Paranossa is. Person fishes on one side, I saw this cartoon, it's fishing on one side, and the fish jumps in through the back from the other side. So he says, oh, you know what? Why do I need to go fishing? No. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. You're supposed to go fishing. But you have to know that the fishing has no shaychus with the outcome. Your gata or matzosa. Noch else is it's a metziah. So in that case, so my mother-in-law asked Ron Gurbitz, when are we supposed to know? And I'm sure we all have this question almost every day in our lives. When do we know where to stop the hishtadlus? So Ron, in his inimitable style, answered as follows. He said, Hishtadlus is like putting a nail in the wall. What do you do? So as you take a nail in the wall, you have to keep on banging the back of the nail. When do you stop? How do you know when to stop? He says, when the nail starts bending, that's when you stop. When it starts being counterproductive, your hishtadlus, that's when you stop. Person's looking for a shidduch. He says, you know what? I'll call the shadchan. Very good, you should. I'll call a follow-up for the shadchan. Now it's 11:45 at night. Yeah, and the Shadchan's probably gone to sleep, and you just want to triple check that the Shadchan's got all the names correctly. That's when the Shadchan calls you back and says, please leave me alone. That's when the nail started bending. You shouldn't have made that call. unnecessary shtadlus. You think your triple checking was necessary. It starts going back on you because then you're taking control. Ke'ilu, you are in control. We are supposed to take control with the understanding that we're not in control. And when the nail starts bending, that's when you stop your shtadlus. What is the message of Shabbos? The message of Shabbos is that we have a critical part to play. And that is what the Yevonim hated so much about it, because they said, that's it, it's done. Now come and enjoy the world is created. We say, that we are here in order to do. That's the same thing with Bris Milah. Bris Milah is, are we created perfect? Or did Hashem ask us to do something in this world? To be procreative in this world, but in a way of tikkun. And that is the pshat in Rish Chedesh as well. He said, what's the big thing about Rish Chedesh? Number one, I heard once from Ridley Whitler, one of my Rebbeim, he said, what is the secret? What did they know about Rish Chedesh that we don't know? Right? We said, well, we wouldn't have had Rish Chedesh. He said, first of all, he said to me, I asked him this kasha, so he said to me, Benji, never underestimate the koyach of Ischadshus. The reason why we're still here today is because we've been able, through every time that we've had waxed and waned, we've been able to pick ourselves up. Every time they've tied the stories, we pick ourselves up and be mechadosh. That is the secret of Klal Yisrael, right? The secret of Klal Yisrael is ha'ischadus of Rish Chedesh, right? It's the fact that we wax and we wane and then we pick ourselves up again. But that's the koyach of ischadus, right? There's something else that happens on Rish Chedesh. We know that it's totally on us, on the our edus as to when Rish Chedesh is. It's totally on the achrosa of Beis Din as to when Rish Chedesh is made. Which means that it's not that that there's Rish Chedesh and the Rebbeinu Shlom created Rish Chedesh. No, we have, through Beis Din, a koyach, and through that, something happens, a reality happens. In fact, we know there's mamash a nafka min lahalocha of a basula bashleisha, that faket, like if she's three or not three, there could be massive nafka min lahalocha. What makes her 3 years old is the hachroz of Rish Chedesh. That means that a metzius in this world will change through Beis Din making a hachroza on Rish Chedesh. That's the Asher Bor Elikim Lasos. We're saying that Rish Chedesh is not just a hachroza, but it creates a metzius in this world. That is what the Yevonim could not accept, and that is what the Chashmonaim were up against. That is what they were fighting. The Yogat Matzos, the Pischuli Pesach Shal Machat, why they had the Azus to stand up against the Greek army, was because they knew that winning a war was not Tola on odds or probability. The whole idea of winning a war is that you do your bit. And they knew that their bit was to do with however many people they had, go up against the Greek army. You've got no chance. Chance has got no shaykhs. You go, you do what you can. And as long as the nail wasn't bending backwards, then it became a reality. I was, in the year 2003, I was in the car with Rameir Zlotowitz, Zecher Levracha, who was one of the founders of Art Scroll, or maybe the founder, along with Ross and Sherman. And he was a very close talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecherin Levracha. And I asked him, what was the thing that stood out for Rav Moshe to you? What was it, the thing that stood out to you about Rav Moshe? And he told me that what stood out to him was that Rav Moshe's belief in the Koyach HaPsak, and that the Koyach HaPsak will change the Metzius. I said to him, what do you mean? So he said, look, I'll tell you a story. He said, I was in the room at the time. So I'm telling you this for Rameir Zlotowitz, who told me he was in the room with Rav Moshe. He said that there was a woman who came after the war. He said Rav Moshe used to really answer Shilas and Shubas very quickly. Very, very quickly, something came in, he would come in, he would go out usually that day. Never slept on Shilas. This one, for days, he was very agitated. What was the story? It was someone from South America who was written in that she, after the war, she'd come, she'd got a heter aguna, she'd got remarried. She had a son, and this son was about to get married. And as she was about to get married, then her husband resurfaced from before the war. And now the shaila is, what do you do with this son? Can he get married? Is he a mamza? What happened? So, Rav Moshe was very agitated, and he said, Ich muss in der Freude. He asked to see the ones. They flew it in from South America the next week, and there were three people in the room, Rav Moshe, Rav Meir Zlotowitz, and this woman. And he asked her to say over the story of what happened. And she said, after the war, got the Hagtagunas, he shows her the Hagtagunas from this Rav. And where she says, Zogdosi benochamo. He says, say it again. Says it again, the whole story. And then he screams, Zogdosi benochamo, say it again. And she starts trembling a bit and she says it again. And then Rav Moshe was not a large man, he's saying, right? And he stood up on his table and he leant his fist in and he screamed out, he said, I knew this Rav, who you're claiming you got a head tag on us, is Kenet Zion. He says, I don't even reach his ankles. And every hetaraguna I've given has never surfaced up. And you're telling me that this Rav gave a hetaraguna and the husband resurfaced? Kenet Zion. And she broke down in tears and she admitted that the hetaragunas was a forgery. Because Rav Moshe knew that the Koyach HaPsak meant that if a Rav, an emissar Rav, and a Beis Din give a hetaragunas, that creates a metzias. The husband never shows up. Even if he would be alive, the Gemara states, he would die. He'd never show up. If it's muta, it creates a metzias. It's not a hashara. It's not a judgment like in the courts. It's because we have, Hashabarik Panasu, Hashem created a world where through human interaction, we can change everything. Through our actions in this world, this is the Olam HaAsiyah. This is where we can change everything. That is the light of Chanukah. The light of Chanukah is to understand that we have an ability to change everything. A person puts themselves in a certain situation, even the Chashmonaim, the Rambam state, it's not like Purim, by the way. It's not like Purim. Chanukah, we got hit quite hard. There were piritzas in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says. They looted our money. They took their benoist. So it wasn't poshut. Yeah? Even when we came back, we made a makeshift menorah, the Rambam says. We didn't have the menorah. Yeah? It wasn't all... So what was the light? The light was that we did what we could in that situation. We understood that it's our job to do what we can. You've got a small nail, you have a small nail. You have a big nail. You have a big menorah, beautiful. You have a small thing. It doesn't matter. Whether it's Shabbos, Mila, Rosh Chodesh, or any other part of Yiddishkeit. It's our job to do our bit. And through that, change everything. So many times, there's two sides to this. Taking it to, again, what we've gone through over the last 9 months. On the one hand, we have to understand that this was obviously a gezeirah on Yerushalayim, but it was there something for us to do. We had to continue to do, right? It's asher bo'ad lekum la'asos. We have to continue whatever situation we're in. But there's also the other thing, which is that whatever situation Hashem puts us in, we do what we can. Some people were saying, how can it be, you know, that Hashem is taking away our minyanim at the beginning of Ramadan? How can it be? It mustn't be. And Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Zalok Zunzain said, no. The Rebbeinu Shalom tests each situation. A person, throughout history, we found ourselves in situations of restrictions and of times when we can't. And then that's what the test is. What can you do? And how do you bloom in that place where you are planted? You don't have a menorah. You've got piritzas in the base of Mikdash. Are you still going to light the light? It's not about getting to the bottom line. It's about putting in the hishtadlus of what we need to do. And if we take that light of Chanukah and we don't benefit it for the regular mundane way that we always saw this world, but rather see the whole world with a different lens, then that's the understanding of L'Roisam Bovad. Because by lighting up the mundane, we've missed the point. By lighting up the gefilte fish and continuing with our lives after Chanukah, we've missed the point. We have to understand that even when we eat donuts, Misha Amad L'Shem Shadik, maybe we won't put on weight. It's okay. Misha Amad, everything could be a miracle. Tongue in cheek. But you know what I mean? The idea is that everything is a ness. That the lens of Chanukah gives us the idea that we have something that we can do in this world. And this is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between us and the Yevonim. Can we change the situation we're in? Can a Nes happen through human interaction, which is still Begeder Yogata Matzosa? It's mind-boggling. You try and explain that logically, you cannot explain it. It's Lamala Manateva. Try and explain to a secular person that we believe that a miracle happened, but Afal Pikein, we need to do what we need to do, and it's no connection, that which we need to do, to what is the outcome. Only a person with emunah, only a person with the light of Chanukah can see that. But if we do that, then we're zoicha not only to have the light of Chanukah in our lives now, but even for the rest of the 346 days of the year, to be able to light up our world, not only with the light of Shabbos this year, and elevate that tonight, but also the light of Chanukah. Shabbos.
What's the forgery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.